I got two titles for this morning's message. One is The Psychology of Sandcastles. Or, I don't have time to go to the beach. Some of us have to work. Charlie Brown had spent the afternoon at the beach building a huge sandcastle. While standing back to admire it, a person ran up and stomped it down and then ran off. Charlie Brown looked at his smashed castle and says, I know there's a lesson in this, but I'm not sure what it is. You can tell a lot about a person by studying their sandcastle behavior. Have you ever been in a situation where everything looks like it's just been destroyed and you're wondering, what just happened? I don't get it. I don't understand what just happened. I was doing good. I built the sandcastle and somebody came and smashed it. Well, what would you do in Charlie Brown's case? Would you attack the castle smasher? Would you forgive the castle smasher? Would you lecture the castle smasher on beach etiquette? Would you get depressed and go home? Would you rebuild the castle? Or would you just like give up and you spend so much effort, why try again? I don't know what the psychology of sandcastles is to you, but you can know a person by what they do with a sandcastle. What if it wasn't a person who destroyed the castle, but simply a large wave came up and wiped it out? Would you start rebuilding it? Would you give up? Would you go for ice cream and forget about rebuilding it or going home? How long do sandcastles last? Nobody ever sat there and timed it, did they? How long does a life on planet Earth last? Some of us are overly committed to sandcastles. Are you the type of person that would leave your sandcastle on the beach for others to see after you left? Or are you the type of person who, when you're ready to leave, would go and smash your own castle and then go home? We got some people that's the big deal before they leave, is they smash their own castle. I remember doing an outdoor wedding at Millie's, and the people that they were just barely able to afford to be at Millie's, but it was a nice wedding. And so they didn't have a lot of extra money for everything. And Millie's does outdoor weddings back then. I think, what's it called now? Rosewood? Yeah. And so the people just before us had a wedding, and it was a very wealthy, rich wedding. And they had just got done throwing $1,500 worth of cut flowers into the dumpster. So we thought, wow, they were really nice. So as we began to try to gather the flowers out of the dumpster to add to the festivities that we were to have, I think it was the bride, if I'm not mistaken, came out very angry and forbid us from using the cut flowers that had already been thrown in the dumpster. $1,500 worth of beautiful flowers. She couldn't handle the idea of somebody else using her flowers from her wedding after she'd thrown them away. She smashed her own sandcastle, didn't want anybody to be able to see it or enjoy it or wonder who did it, you know? Are you the type of person that would come upon someone else's sandcastle and decide just to smash it because it's there, that they left it behind when they left, so your job is to run up and jump on it and smash it? Are you seeing the psychology behind this at all? The different kind of people? Because you've probably been in several of those categories. What do you personally do with sandcastles? Do you remember? Or maybe you still build them. Are you the type that has to build your own sandcastle and won't allow anybody to add to it or modify it? Are you the type of person who builds a sandcastle as part of a group effort? Are you the type of person who builds it with a group effort but corrects the others for doing it wrong, like trying to add seagull feathers that have bacteria on them, or little rocks, or we don't want a moat, or no, we can't have a pool in the middle? You can't get those little rocks. Do you play well with others? Do you guard your sandcastle and command others to stay away? Or are you the bully on the beach that all you do is stomp other people's sandcastles? We try hard to build a lasting, meaningful life on this planet. And quite often we miss what should be simple and what should be obvious. We're not here that long. We should spot the obvious. We're trying to make things permanent that are not, and not make things priority that are permanent. People are the only thing that you can take to heaven. The only thing. Nothing else goes. Everything on planet Earth is temporary except for people. You wonder what happened to the people that became sandcastle smashers. Why is it inside of them to just to destroy what everybody else is building? What made them like that? What happened to them? But everything we build, we should not hold tightly to on this earth. We should just simply look at the obvious. It's all temporary. We should look at the obvious. One day, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson go camping. Sherlock wakes Watson up in the middle of the night and asks Watson what he sees. Dr. Watson says to Sherlock, "I see a million stars." Sherlock says, "Well, what does that mean to you?" Watson says, "Well, astronomically, there are millions of stars that are visible. In a bigger universe, there's billions of galaxies and trillions of planets. Astrologically, I see Saturn in Leo. Time-wise, I see that it is about 3 a.m. Meteorologically, I see that our weather should remain fair. Theologically, it tells me that our Lord God is all-powerful and creative, and we are small in comparison. So, Sherlock, what do the stars tell you?" "Well, dear Watson," Sherlock says, "the stars tell me that someone has apparently stolen our tent." Sometimes we miss the obvious. We hold too tightly to things that obviously are temporary. I remember a very sad story. There was a flood that came on suddenly in an area, and a family tried to escape. They got in their car, and they're driving away. But the mom, she was consumed by saving every receipt. She was really concerned and fearful that without her receipt, that she could not get her product repaid for or back or whatever. So she kept them all in this huge bag. Now, we keep receipts, and I don't have a problem with that, but this lady was, she kept every receipt. And so as they're going out the door, she grabs her huge receipt bag to save it in the flood. They drive so far and realize that they have to leave their car because the water is too deep, and they have to go to climb this tree. The water is coming fast and furious, and they have to climb higher and hold on to the tree, and it's just getting worse. They can barely hold on. Now they've climbed as high as they can climb, and the water's still rising, and they're half in the water. And she, the mother, is having trouble holding on to all of her receipts in the receipt bag and the tree at the same time because the current is flowing. They're yelling at her to let go of the receipt bag, and she won't. Eventually, her hand slips. She's swept away and drowns because she wouldn't let go of the bag of receipts. Sad story. Be careful what you cling to. Hold on to some things in life very loosely or not at all. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Let me say that again. Who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. That's down here that he's talking about. Well, you're supposed to enjoy it. Shelley and I were shopping this week at Sam's Club, picking some stuff up to try to get ahead of camp meeting. And we came out of Sam's Club, and the sun was just going down. And we stop and we turn around. And I suppose in the top 10 sunsets that I've ever seen in my life, this is probably would have to be listed in the top 10. The sky was an explosion of pink fluorescence and purple. And these odd-shaped clouds were in the sky. One of them looked like a table or an anvil. Like, how does a cloud even hold that shape? And we stood there for a while watching that sunset. Now, why waste time looking at the sky? Well, or studying a flower. She pointed out about a day or so ago, she said, those petunias look like they're striped, but when you go up close to them, it's all hearts. Or listening to a child, or listening to a senior citizen who's telling you the same story for the umpteenth time. Why waste time doing all of that? Ephesians 1, 7 and 8 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Now, lavish is a pretty nice word. It's kind of like extravagant. It's a God word that God uses on us. He lavished it on us with all wisdom and understanding. And that just isn't just his wisdom and understanding that he keeps to himself, because he does understand everything. When God asks you a question, it isn't because he doesn't know the answer, okay? It's so you figure the answer out. You do realize that if God never gave you wisdom and understanding, you'd be living in a dark and depressing world. He gave you understanding. Some people struggle with the idea of evolution versus creation. They think, oh, little by little, over millions of years, we came to the knowledge of where we are today. But God didn't make a Neanderthal man and woman sitting there scratching themselves, going, ugh, ugh, ugh. Like God's communicating to them, ugh, ugh, ugh. Ugh, 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 ugh. That wasn't their communication. They talked with each other as they walked with each other. They were made fully functional and interactive with God. Never count God out. Without wisdom and understanding, you're sunk. Never leave God out. You're part of his deal. He's not a part of our deal. We're part of his deal. The whole deal that he's got going, we're part of that. 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. There's that word again, lavished again. that we should be called the children of God, and that's what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. Parents decide to have children. Children don't decide to have parents. God decided to have you. Hebrews 12:5 asks, have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? God made us permanent. He made us eternal. We are his building, the Bible says, and we are not his sandcastle. We're not made out of sandcastle material. God did put us, however, in a sandcastle world. This world is not permanent. Those who realize that the earth is one large sandcastle won't be as upset when a wave comes in. At the end of the day, we go home and we leave a sandcastle behind. At the end of our life, we go home and leave sandcastle earth. Yet the glory of God and the rewards and the treasures of heaven are based on how we played while on sandcastle earth. That all went ahead. Some men build skyscrapers. Some build sandcastles. Someday both the skyscraper and the sandcastle will be gone. Skyscrapers are just larger sandcastles. They're not permanent structures. According to the word of God, every skyscraper that was started has a day that it won't exist at all. Now, there's one individual said this. He said, I always put broken glass and hard stones hidden inside my sandcastle. So, when someone comes along to stomp on them in their bare feet, they hurt themselves. Boy, talk about sandcastle psychology. I mean, the barefoot stomping piece that's going to, feet that's going to hit that broken glass and the hard stones. What's that all about? How do people get like that? Why are they so angry? I mean, do you know any sandcastle builders like that, that would purposely put damaging stuff in the way? Boy, there's a lot of psychology with the sandcastle stuff. Now, waves destroy sandcastles, right? Do you know where the sand comes from? What makes the sand? The waves. Oh, great. Without waves, there's no sand to build the sandcastle with. And yet every sandcastle is going to eventually be taken down by a wave. And there's waves in our lives that come and go. And we're reacting like some of the things and losses that occur in our life, like they're more than a sandcastle. There's only one thing that counts, and that's people. Everything else is sandcastle material. Well, you'll never get hit with a wave if you never go to the beach. But it's also obvious that you never get to enjoy the beach. But that's where the waves are, and that's where the sandcastles are built. Well, I'll build mine in a sandbox. Well, till the next kid comes along. Those that strive to leave a permanent sandcastle on this earth will fail. Those that strive to leave a permanent castle in heaven will succeed. We've got to figure this thing out because it may sound very simplistic about the sandcastle, but I was sitting there, and for every person that would react, respond, build as a group, control the group, smash the castle, smash their own castle, put things in the castle to hurt other people, try to protect their castle, leave it for others to see, walk up and feel like they have the desire or right to smash every unprotected castle that they come across. every person, there's a different psychology behind that sandcastle. And I found myself, as I was studying this, realizing that I'd probably been at some point in time in every single role here. And I thought, oh, no, I'm hope I'm doing better. So I thought, I guess what I wanted to do is if I ever build a sandcastle, I would enjoy it for the moment and not be upset if somebody smashed it. I'd go for the ice cream and stay in the beach. I'd rebuild it if I wanted to and not if I didn't. I'd let other people add to it. That wasn't in my plan, but they want to add to it. Go for it. I guess I would modify my behavior now, where I'm at now, and I'd have different sandcastle behavior than I did before. But just studying how people respond to sandcastles is pretty revealing. It's almost like driving out on the highway and discovering what people are like in the other vehicles, you know? Tells you a lot about a person. I don't recommend if you're dating anyone that you make any sort of commitment until you see how they react in traffic. You learn a few things or watch their sandcastle. You say, let's go to the beach. We can build sandcastles. Then you'll sit back and go, okay, you know, and see what they're like with their sandcastle behavior. But let's not forget that this entire earth is one huge sandcastle. It's temporary. It will be gone. We will be long gone, and it will be gone. But what we do, we need to figure out that as we're building the sandcastle is not what's important. It's the people that are around us that we've invited in to help us build the sandcastle. That's the most important. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know about you, but this helped me. This helped me reconfirm some things about me, about being the sandcastle smasher of old and being the builder of today. That whoever wants to add to the castle, come on, bring it. If they want a moat, if they want to pour the water in the center and the walls collapse, that's okay. I'll either rebuild it or do something else. I just want to get it right, and I don't want to hold too tightly under this earth or consider the losses that occur on earth as if they're not replaceable or they're not temporary. That allows me to have a better life and not hate going to the beach. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for your blessing, for your words of encouragement, for your holy written word, and the Holy Spirit gives us understanding and wisdom. You said it. We receive it. Help us to be better. This world is temporary. We understand that. Your world has always been a permanent world. We build our life in your world, our life in you. We are the building that you're building, and we are permanent. I praise you, Lord, for what you've shown us this morning. I love you for it. Help me to be better. Help each one of us to be better. To glorify you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.